Things I'd like just to share by way of celebrations and thankfulness. For the 18th year, our member Bill Bentley is participating and will complete the 20-mile Walk for Hunger held annually by Project Bread. And so we encourage you to support Bill's May 1st walk and help him achieve his goal by making a paid pledge through the Project Bread website, which is simply www.projectbread.org. And once on the site, just click on the Walk for Hunger and it will all open up. And if you're concerned about all the little steps you may have to take, the next triad that is coming out, we've outlined all the clicks you have to make to find Bill Bentley and then put your pledge in. So please do that. Please give before April 30, so all of his pledges are received before the walk on Sunday, May 1st. Our mission project for Ukraine relief effort, I'm pleased to announce that between March 1st and last Sunday, April 3rd, we have now received $1,691. So thank you so much for your giving. And this week we decided we'd send a check to the UCC so the funds can be used immediately. We'll continue to receive donations through the end of April, and then come May 1st we can fire off another check to the denominational office. And then third, I simply want to celebrate that eyewitnesses in Ukraine continue to report that God is answering prayer and moving in miraculous ways. Now there's an insert in your program, and I didn't realize Kathy was going to print what I'm going to share, but there's a lot of information there that will also be in the triad. But for the sake of those that are live streaming this morning, let me just share this particular story. A recent story tells of a missionary named Yelena. She works in Ukraine and Eastern Europe right now. Yelena was born in the Soviet Union in the area which would eventually become Ukraine. She moved to America at the age of 11 and later received the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. Several weeks ago, when Russia invaded Ukraine, she saw the opportunity to return to offer humanitarian aid. She and a team of four others went to Kyiv and began establishing connections with the local Ukrainian church. The goal was not only to provide aid and necessities, but to provide people with Jesus Christ, Yelena said. Well, God granted organizational favor. When asked what God was doing in Ukraine, she mentioned how the team has been favored greatly by God, especially at the border on the Ukraine side. The team was established quickly without having to wait in line, as some organizations have to wait 3, maybe 4 days. They had a way in and out, a tent was quickly set up, a separate team of volunteers did shopping for whatever was needed, and they had no problem gaining access to the other side and got whatever they asked for. They were able to distribute blankets, food, hot tea, and share the gospel all within 24 hours. Second, God is blessing the Christians at work in Ukraine with unity. The teams have connected with many local pastors. They all work together in many aspects and share with one another. And Yelena stated, "We are activating the church in evangelism. We provide tents and tables for speakers and counselors." And then in particular, thirdly, what caught my attention was God used the ministry team to rescue women from traffickers. Many human traffickers are using this great tragedy to cover us to, Many human traffickers are using this great tragedy as a cover to steal vulnerable women and children who are alone and seeking refuge. They look for women and children and offer them rides. Thankfully, team members with Yelena have been able to spot traffickers right away by discernment. At least 5 traffickers have been arrested. Yelena's ministry team had given young women their phone number, and a woman refugee saved many on the Polish side of the border. She noticed the bus driver in Poland rerouted their bus 30 minutes prior to their destination in Germany. The driver took her and the entire bus of 35 people to an old abandoned building where there was film equipment. She knew immediately that meant trafficking. She called the team members at 1 o'clock a.m. They were able to contact authorities and track the traffickers. Who knows what would have become of those people if team members had not shared contact information. And so we celebrate God empowering the work of this and all ministry teams serving in Ukraine and neighboring countries. I'm reminded that God works miracles through his people and his servants. And so I encourage you once again this morning, prayer is powerful. Let us continue to pray for the people of Ukraine, pray for peace, pray for less turmoil in all countries, and may the observance of Holy Week and Easter bring a renewal of seeking God and serving him. And then in closing, I just want to remind folks, the Encounter with God, the quarterly guide for April, May, and June, that's arrived. There's a couple on the table in the back and some over in the CE building. And if you pick it up today, the readings for the next 2 weeks are from John chapter 18, which covers Holy Week, the resurrection, and the final days of Christ on this earth. So I encourage you to pick it up or go to scriptureunion.org and you can download these same readings for free. And I just share personally, I've been reading this for many years. You know, if anything today, we need to take time to read God's word and just spend a few minutes in prayer each day. And I can tell you through the guide, it always leaves you thinking about something concerning your walk with Christ. So let's unite together in prayer and Bible reading and celebrate the resurrection that will come in another week. Amen.
Thank you, Gil. And to that, I would add that if you want to be giving to the Ukraine mission, there are envelopes, I think, in front of you where you're sitting, mission envelopes, and just mark it Ukraine, and Nancy Mitchell will know where that is to be sent to. We have a few announcements before we receive our morning's offerings. The Family Feast Friday is coming this Friday. If you want to have a meal prepared for you, please call the church office and make a reservation sometime before, well, no later than Tuesday, let us say. And Tuesday at 7 p.m., there will be a rehearsal for deacons and readers for the Maundy Thursday service, which we will be holding at 7:30 on Thursday evening in our sanctuary and on Zoom. And we are also planning a yard sale for May 21st, and we will be looking for volunteers for that. And if there are some strong people in the congregation today, we're going to be moving two tables up here for the Monday-Thursday service. So if you'd like to stay and help us with that, we would appreciate it. Are there any other announcements that need to be made at this time? If not, then let us remember all of the good things that God has given to us as we present our morning's gifts and our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
Gracious God, in the midst of the turmoil of this world, we turn to you to seek peace. We are grateful for all that you have given to us and the freedoms that we enjoy. We ask that you would bless these offerings, that they may strengthen our ministry both here and across the world. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Mr. Dave, for that special music. Is that one that you wrote? Thank you so much for sharing that with us. This is the time we share celebrations. Do any of you have a celebration you would like to share? You can announce it from your seat and I can repeat it if I can understand you. Oh, okay, I see a couple here. Let's go to the back. Eric. Oh, happy birthday, Tammy. Very good. We won't say which one. Okay, who else had a hand up? Rich. Second birthday. Yeah, we're not too ashamed of our age at age two. You're right. You're right, Rich. Very good. Very good. Thank you for sharing that. Grandson of the Gosses. Anyone else? If not, then let me remind you that there will be palms available for you as you leave the sanctuary this morning, so don't forget to take your palms. So let us turn to our concerns as a church family. We have a lot of people, as usual, on our prayer list. Ed Dyer is not doing very well at home. We pray for Nancy Kelly, who is Kathy Trowbridge's mom. We've been asked for prayers for the Vallade family. That's not Sis Vallade's family, but Kathy and her family on the death of a 40-year-old daughter, which was somewhat unexpected. We pray for those who have ongoing medical issues, Jen and Lee and Marge, Marilyn, Diane Dunbar, Janet and Bonnie. For those who are in the nursing homes or assisted living, we pray for Jackie Glass and Carolyn Farrell. And we pray for all of those who struggle with addictions. We pray for our nation and the well-being of the world during these trying times. And as always, we pray for the mission for this month, which is aid to Ukraine. And above all that, let us pray for peace. So please join with me in a moment of prayer. God of grace, on this day, we praise you for all that your gracious Son said and did during his last week on earth, for his humility, which preferred service to rule, for his boldness in the face of mortal enemies, for his touching sorrow over Jerusalem, for his gifts of bread and wine to be shared in remembrance of the gift of his life, for his words of faith and forgiveness, even while dying in agony on the cross. Long ago on that first Palm Sunday, the children Jesus loved greeted him with squeals of joy. We pray for the children today, for children orphaned by this senseless war in Ukraine, for children who are being victimized, as we heard today from Gil, for children born unwanted and unloved, for children abused by their own parents. Arouse our consciences, righteous God, about the fate of children who are being carelessly sacrificed on the altars of nationalism, imperialism, economic or religious dogma. And energize us, we pray, to help as many children as we can help who are in need of our help. On this first day of Jesus' last week on earth, we consecrate to you the services of worship we have planned for this holy week. Let your spirit grasp us and reshape us through our self-searching, our grieving, our rejoicing. Let not this reliving of our Lord's passion and death leave us uninvolved or unchanged. Rather, let this week be for us an occasion of re-examining our priorities, achieving greater integrity, and moving into costlier discipleship. We also lift up in your presence the names that we hold in our hearts and in our prayers. We ask that you would remember those whom we have mentioned this morning and any others that we might lift up into your presence at this time. All this we ask in the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our scripture lesson today tells us the familiar story of Jesus and his disciples as he prepares and then enters Jerusalem on the day which we now call Palm Sunday. I'll be reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 44. Please hear these words. After he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Just say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent departed and found it as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They said, the Lord needs it. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they sent Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, order your disciples to stop. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
I'm going to sing hymn 277, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. And we'll do all three verses. I'll play it down one time. Have to quote it one time.
There's an Irish comedian by the name of Hal Roach, and explains that not only are some of his countrymen quite devout Christians, but they also take written instructions very literally. And he explained that one of his friends was visiting New York, and he was using the subway system rather late one night, not very many people there. As he exited the train, he walked toward the escalator, and he spotted a sign that read, "Dogs must be carried on the escalator." And he thought to himself, where am I going to find a dog at this time of night? How many of you are dog owners or have ever been a dog owner? That's most of us, isn't it? How many of you are cat owners? How about both? Okay. Well, I see we have some gluttons for punishment today. You see, I love cats and I love my dog. Angel has taught me to love dogs, and I had never had one until 12 years ago when she came along. And she has shown me that dogs are pretty needy. I was used to cats. They are very independent, aren't they? They require far less work than a dog does. In 1975, Gary Dahl was in a bar listening to his friends complain about their pets. And this gave him the idea for a perfect pet, a pet rock. Remember the pet rocks back in the 70s? Absolutely. Think about it. A rock would not need to be fed, walked, bathed, groomed. Furthermore, pet rocks would never die, become sick, or be disobedient. He said they would be perfect pets, and he joked about it with his friends. But Dahl later took his idea even further than simply sharing it with a few of his drinking buddies. He began selling ordinary gray stones bought at a builder's supply store as pet rocks. And these rocks were marketed like live pets in custom cardboard boxes complete with straw and holes to allow the pet rock to breathe. He also drafted an instruction manual for a pet rock. It was full of puns, gags, and plays on words. And the rest, as they say, is history. Only in America, I suppose, could a gag like pet rocks become big business. The fad lasted only about 6 months. Gary Dahl, who died in 2015, sold 1.5 million pet rocks, and he became a millionaire. By the way, I'm told you can still buy a pet rock complete with a walking leash. Where else? On Amazon. Yeah. You gotta love our great country, don't you? Well, I'm gonna get back to pet rocks later. It's been said that true Christianity is a radical experiment that has only been tried seriously by a very few people. Take, for example, Saint Francis of Assisi. He was a wealthy young man. He gave up everything because of his love for Jesus Christ. And one story is told about Saint Francis being on a pilgrimage, and on his way, someone heard him singing and asked him where he was going, and he said, "I'm going to God." And then they asked him, "Well, where are you coming from?" And he said, "I'm coming from God." "And why are you singing?" "I sing to keep from losing my way," he responded. That's a very apt image, I think, of Jesus as he is entering Jerusalem. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, dogs are barking, and children are laughing. It's a beautiful day for a parade, and Jesus is happy. He knows where he's coming from. He knows where he is going. His eyes are fixed on God, and there is a song in his heart. Yes, Jesus knows where he's coming from and where he is going, but he also knows that there's going to be a lot of pain in between Palm Sunday and Easter. Palm Sunday, we could say, is Jesus' coming out party. So Jesus is entering the holy city of Jerusalem, and his goal is to present himself as the Messiah. Up until this time, Jesus had been reluctant to make his mission official, somewhat like presidential candidates who spend so much time before the primaries dancing around whether they are going to be candidates or not. We think of how many times Jesus had said to people up to this point something like, "Don't tell anyone what I've done for you. Don't tell anyone who I am." But now it is time. It is his time and God's time that has come. The time for preparation is over and the time of presentation is at hand. Jerusalem will be Jesus' big reveal, to use a term from the modern vernacular. If you're not familiar with the term, the reveal is also known for the previously hidden key element of the plot in a story that you are telling, and it's finally exposed to the audience, and it's that aha moment when you say, "So that's what is going to happen." I've been to a few baby showers in the last few years, and it seems to me they have adopted the big reveal, have they not, at baby showers? I can't tell you the number of ways people announce whether their coming child is going to be a boy or a girl. Boy, blue balloons if it's a boy, pink confetti for a girl. One of the more inventive reveals I experienced was when the young couple who was expecting drove off their car. The exhaust was a thick blue cloud that almost put all of us on the ground. Palm Sunday is Jesus' big reveal Jesus is headed for Jerusalem. He sends two of his disciples ahead to the village of Bethphage. He tells them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there. Untie it. Don't worry about it. I've already made the plans for it. It's a donkey upon which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it, just say, the Lord needs it. Jesus' instruction to these two disciples was to find him the colt of a donkey and to bring it to him. Jesus was clearly fulfilling the prophecy from the Old Testament book of Zechariah. And that says that the Messiah will enter Jerusalem riding on a donkey. So what is the significance of the Messiah riding on a donkey? Just this. All of Israel was waiting for a Messiah who would be a political revolutionary. They expected the Messiah to come riding on a horse with his sword drawn, prepared to overthrow the Roman oppressors. They had somehow missed this particular prophecy from Zechariah. In the days of Zechariah, when a king came riding on a horse, he was announcing his intention to declare war on his enemy. However, when the king came riding on a donkey, he was announcing his intention to make peace with his enemies. Oh, that Vladimir Putin would learn something from Palm Sunday. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on a donkey was an announcement that he had come to usher in a kingdom of peace. Riding on a donkey was a prophetic declaration of his purpose and mission, not just for the Jews, but for all of humanity. He came in peace, for peace, and to bring peace to all nations. Jesus advanced down the west side of the Mount of Olives toward the city and was indeed welcomed by the crowd as their Messiah. There was no red carpet in those days, as we use for royalty or celebrities, among other things. The crowd threw their cloaks on the road, forming a royal carpet as a way of showing their respect. The whole crowd of believers began to joyfully praise God for all the miracles they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." The fact that the crowds welcomed Jesus like this troubled the Pharisees and the religious authorities. And they told Jesus that he needed to rebuke his followers. He was no king. He was no Messiah. And to that, Jesus replied, "I tell you that if they keep quiet, the very stones will cry out." Imagine that. Stories of rocks crying out. I told you I'd get back to pet rocks. If the crowd kept silent, all the very rocks would be crying out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Nothing is going to stop this movement, Jesus is telling them. If the crowds were silenced, even inanimate objects would be raised up to testify that he is indeed the Messiah. All of history was preparing for this one single event when he would be declared as King and Messiah. Luke's narrative clearly paints this picture that this was a divinely orchestrated event. This is of God. And God is saying, nobody can stand in my way. During this Holy Week, let us meditate on all of these things. And please be with us on Maundy Thursday evening at 7:30 for our traditional service of Tenebrae here in the sanctuary and on Zoom. Amen. Thank you. And now may God grant you grace to follow in faith where Christ has led the way, that you may live each day with courage and perseverance, and at length fall asleep peacefully in him and rise in his likeness. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always, world without end. Amen.